You didn't save yourself. You didn't deliver yourself. You didn't baptize yourself. You didn't gain knowledge on your own. We are reaping literally today the things that we have not even worked for. Jesus Christ was the man that was talking about the things that he would begin to do for them, that he would do the work for, that when we came to a time when we would need to reap something, he said that we would be able to rejoice with those that have worked it and those that did not. What does that mean? That even though I did not meet Christ in person and say, "Hello, Jesus, nice to meet you. So glad you came to die for me." Even though I've not got to meet him in flesh, I'm able to reap of what he did for me. If we don't learn to rejoice in the things we didn't even pay for, oh friend, if I borrowed your car and you're paying insurance and you're paying this and you're paying gas for it and you paid to have the tires redone and I just took it out and did any old thing in that car, I can tell you right now, you wouldn't be rejoicing with me. In fact, we'd probably be in the courthouse and you trying to sue me over some tire damage to your car. But Jesus didn't say that he would take you to court if you enjoyed a little bit of what he had for you. He said that everybody would have the ability to rejoice in what we reap together. The harvest had not come for the physical surroundings of where they were. So what he was trying to say is, even though it's not at a time where you feel like you can go get it, there is no better time than to go get it than when you hear me tell you to. The Bible makes plenty of references to this. While it is day, let us work. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Talks about today is the day of salvation. Choose you this day who you'll serve. There are many references about choosing to reap right now. Because the longer that you hold on to your water pot of all this stuff, then I have no promise that you'll make it. I'm here to tell you that if you walk away from all that which you are in bondage to, you may feel like you've lost something at first. But to lose in this life is to gain with Christ. There were people that was looking at John and was confused about why that people were esteeming Jesus over him. And he put them in their place really quick. He said, "I would decrease so that he could increase in me." Here's the gist of it, church. Here's what God has been trying to tell us for the past 4 years. Are you ready? We have to present something worth living. This goes for any church, wherever you attend. We have to present something worth living for. We're not saying come see a man. We're saying come see my problems. How many of you have pets? Anybody? How many of you have to deal with the things they leave behind? It's not pretty. But it's a part of it, right? We don't want to lead the lost and dying world to something that when they look at it, it is not appealing. We must give something to somebody that is the same thing that led us to something better. You know what that means? You know what's amazing to me out of this whole scripture? That Jesus used the woman that had multiple husbands. You know why? Because when the disciples should have been the one going saying, "Come see a man," they weren't found. You might think that things you've done in your life would never let you have a prosperous ministry. But if you can go to somebody sincerely and tell them about Christ, you're making more of a difference than the top paid evangelists that are walking the earth today. I would love to be able to go and minister to all of your loved ones, all of your friends, all of your coworkers, but I'm only one person. And that's why God didn't leave it in the hands of a few people. He didn't leave it to just a few priests. He didn't leave it just to a head of one man over a church. He led it to where we could have an advocate with the Father. That means that you and I have a ministry. You have a voice, just like the woman that was the least deserving in that moment had a voice. She had a voice to tell somebody to come and see a man which knows everything about my life. This is not popular. This isn't really some dancing, praising material. You want to know why? Because we're guilty of it. And I'm here first to admit that I have failed in things that I should not have failed in. There's been some times that I should have gave God more credit than I gave him, and I did not. There's been some times where I should have ministered to somebody that I saw was having a hard time, but I was too busy and had things to do. I'm not the only one in here. If our righteousness at best is filthy rags, then we've just got a pile of rags in here tonight without God. If our conversation betrays our salvation, what good are we doing? If what comes out of us when nobody's listening is not life in it more abundantly, then we can't expect good things to follow us. If we want to have a church that when we go out of here that it draws people, that they don't have to be drugged or invited or coerced or persuaded. If we want that kind of fire, then it's got to be seen from afar. And if you want something that's seen from afar, you've got to put away your water pots. If you want to see something that's a living, breathing translation of the meat of life in us, we have to be willing to be givers and not takers. My parents raised me to not have to worry about anything. And there's no fault in that for wanting to raise your child in a way that they didn't have to worry over things that you worried about when you were growing up. But let me tell you what happens as we begin to grow more and more spoiled to the things we grow accustomed to. We're spoiled rotten. I'm here to tell you that if you didn't come here tonight and you went to another church, I'm every bit persuaded they'd preach this same thing to you. We're spoiled rotten. Anybody that wants to get to a real, powerful fire of God's service has got to realize that it is not about what we get. It is not about what we get. And while it is good to feel his presence, while it's good to sit and enjoy his presence, it is far more better to give than it is to receive. And let me ask somebody in the house of God tonight, do you have something to give him tonight? Do you have a praise to give the Lord? Let him hear it right now. Somebody give him a praise right now. If God has been good, then you ought to be able to give him something more than just complacency. You ought to give him something that proves you're thankful. You ought to give him something that shows somebody that you want them to be saved. Oh, don't be bashful, but you ought to let somebody know that when I get out of here, I'm going to win this fight. When I get out of here, I'm going to be more than I was before. Come and see a man that knows all of my problems. Come see a man that knows all my life. You want a church to go to, you're welcome to come here. But we're not a bunch of takers. We're givers. And until you learn to give, you'll never receive. Until you learn to bless the Lord, you're not going to be blessed of the Lord. Until you learn to give your last dime and not be bitter about it, don't expect to get 10 in return. Until you learn to give of yourself the way that Christ gave to you, we cannot expect a prosperous life. I don't know where that come from. Must have been the brownie I ate earlier. I'm kidding. Here is the moral of the story. If a woman that had sin against her could have more of a powerful voice than even the disciples had, then that tells me that we can be called whatever we want to be. We can dress however we want to dress. We can say that we love God as much as we want to until we go out and prove it. That's when it means something. Prove to somebody that Christ is alive. Prove to somebody that he means something to you. And how do we do that? We come in here and stop looking at each other and get up and start praising him. Here's another truth. If standing up and giving God praise is uncomfortable, then you're not doing it enough. Don't throw it back at me. That one's for you. If you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, like you should be, then don't look at me and blame me. Honey, that's your problem. Because let me tell you, my water pot is so far behind me, I wouldn't even know how to get back to the well. I tell people sometimes, brother, it's amazing that I get to see dead people. Oh, that are still living. Because when we should have been gone, God spared us for a second chance. And we're all here because of grace. We're all here because of a second chance. And if you are blessed of God, then give it, because that's what He called you to do. Can I finish a couple more verses? 39 and 40. We'll get to that favorite part at the end that everybody knows is coming. Verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know ye that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. And if another shall come in his own name, him will you receive." That's a warning to us today that if we do not receive of God and give of God, then we are coming in a different name. That means we're the seed of discord in the house of God. We're the seed of laziness in the house of God. We're the seed of the slothfulness that's keeping us slowed down. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For ye believe Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" You've got to realize something, church. It's not about what you get. Somebody ought to get a pen and write that down. It's not about what I get that makes me strong. It's not what I get that helps me to be better, but it's what I give. "Whatsoever you desire when you pray," let's switch that word, "whatsoever you desire when you give of yourself." These things only come by prayer and fasting, or things that you give to God. Don't you see the central theme? It comes to things that you are not only received to have, but to give. He said, "Tarry ye here for a little while, and I will endue you with power from on high." He said, "Be patient and give of yourself, and I will give you power." Isn't that amazing? How we have got this backwards is beyond me. Because we're basing how blessed we are on what we're getting instead of what we're giving. What you give is so much more meaningful than what you get. Because if we want to be a church that only gets, then we'll all go out of here and be happy, but nobody's going to be saved. Not one. Not one. I wouldn't be here if I was surrounded by people that only took from God. There are people that didn't make it to the promised land that only took from God. Challenge yourself this week to find a situation that you can bless somebody in and give of yourself. I challenge you. Maybe a child, maybe a loved one, maybe a friend, maybe somebody you would never have done anything for before. And give of yourself. Give something that maybe would cost you a minute. Give something, because you make more of a difference in what you give than anything that demonstrates what you've received. Because it said, whether prophecies, that they would fail. And though I have the ability to speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not the capacity to give charity, it doesn't mean anything. And then you'll get churches today that base it on what they receive, and they get empty after about half a year. And then either the pastor's got to go, praise team guy's got to go, piano player's got to go, somebody's got to go to make it different. But God didn't raise us to be like politicians. He didn't raise us to try to have control and order of the church. He told us to reap of the harvest that was around us. How can you reap of something you cannot see? You know what that represents? The Holy Spirit. How do you reap of something you cannot see if it has not fully come to you in your vision? By the Spirit? By faith? He said, by faith the elders obtained a good report. That means you'd have something good to say in a time of difficulty. It can be any one of us tomorrow. I see 4 to 5 car accidents a week, and all that I can think to myself is, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. And when things go better in your workplace and things just begin to start adding together for you and making more sense, you know what that's causing you to see? That's the time to give. That's the time to give. So don't let anybody, not me, not leadership, no one, keep you from giving what God has given you to give. I heard T.D. Jakes say this the best way. He said, in my church, we've had many preachers that want to get involved, but there's not enough room. And he said, you know what I told him? If you want somewhere to preach, get a radio broadcast. They'll love to hear you. And I laughed at myself and was like, well, that's a nice way to work around that. That means that you don't need this platform. Not all of us need the same platform to make an equal or greater difference. You already have people around you today that you could help, that you could speak to and make a difference. You have somebody that's even right next to you right now that you could just look over and say, God loves you and he's in control. And it's amazing when you give a sincere offering, what a difference it makes. There's been some stuff that you've even said to me to encourage me, brother. Just a hello goes so much further than nothing at all. So I'm wanting you to take this moment right now and think about it. What do you have to give? And are you ready for this? If we have nothing to give, then we're not seeking to receive. Praying, fasting, reading the Word of God, seeking counsel from our trusted brothers and sisters, singing, making praise offerings, reading devotionals, turning on the radio, watching you. I watch YouTube all the time. I also listen to podcasts. It's a powerful way to encourage yourself. Finding things to surround yourself with causes your water pot, are you ready for this, to become your river of living water. It causes what was meant for your detriment. God said, what did the Bible say? That he would work these things for what? For your good. For all of your good. So if he can take care of the things that I can't even see happen, then what does that leave us to do? Tammy, it is not worry. Rebecca, it is not fearing tomorrow. Friends, it is not living in fear, because God did not give us that spirit. I don't even give it that much credit to call it a spirit. It's just a presence. And if kept, will poison our soul. He said, why take you any thought for what you eat or drink? Why take you thought for what you're going to wear, your raiment? Why do you take thought for the staff, the sword, the things that you need to carry? He was basically saying, if it's going to hinder you, don't even carry it at all. He told the rich person, because he saw his riches as a hindrance, he said, sell all you've got and you can follow me. Right? So in conclusion, church, famous last words. Are you ready? Give something good to somebody this week. And if you can think of nothing else to give, give them a brownie. Stand with us tonight, look over at somebody and say, thank God he is done.